The gender and sexuality confusion of our time has many sources, contexts, and forms. But it is not a matter simply of ideas or ideologies. It is also a matter of anxiety. We are anxious as we witness the speed with which long-held assumptions regarding male and female give way to novel constructs and, very quickly, to novel policies and expectations. While the historically informed know that gender theory has rarely been truly stable, at least in the philosophical nuances of the subject, everyone agrees the world is changing. For many, this inexorable transformation is obviously a good thing, even a just thing, and Christians will be left behind, or worse, if we don't get on board. For others, though, these changes are alarming, and the very fabric of civilization and of the Christian faith is at risk. The Church is already well aware that nothing is left untouched in this revolution. Marriage and divorce, household relationships, parents and children, boys and girls, church leadership and church activity, domestic violence and its remedies. But the anxieties are not only on the outside for us. They percolate also on the inside. The Church herself is struggling fiercely to discern the most faithful ways to address gender and domestic violence on many fronts. How to interpret abuse within nominally Christian marriages and homes. To identify abuse and account for its many complexities and effects. To form godly men and women of the Church by sound catechesis in the biblical realities rather than the Greco-Roman or Victorian mythos of the male and female. To serve the cause not only of preserved marriages, but safe, strong, and fruitful ones. Congregations everywhere are full of the walking wounded who have been harmed by the Church's failure at times to serve, guard, and protect the vulnerable faithfully. And many in the Church, and not only these wounded, are eager to recognize this failure for what it is and take steps in reversing it. There are also many success stories of faithful Church and Christian care and teaching, and so there are plenty of stories to hear and learn from. Greystone's Lydia Center has been formed to capitalize on advances in understanding from historical, biblical, theological, and philosophical disciplines, in order to assist the Church to navigate these treacherous waters. It is our position that the gender upheaval underway in our world is not only a tragedy more consequential than its proponents seem to appreciate, but that it is also an opportunity. Regularly in the history of theology, heterodoxy has provoked unprecedented refinement and clarity in orthodoxy. We are persuaded that this dynamic is now before us here as well. The gender revolution of our time is wrong-headed and dangerous, but it also exposes some areas where the Church needs better thinking, better work, more theological coherence to inform and shape more faithful practice. In these areas, not everything has been said, and in some cases what has been said historically could stand some reconsideration, even correction. The time has come to treat questions of gender, divorce, marital and household dynamics, abuse and the like, as properly theological questions, rather than only practical, sociological, or political ones. To recognize that they demand as much sophisticated and rigorous academic attention as traditional theological questions do. The anxieties of our day present, then, an opportunity for the Church to revisit the questions of sexuality, gender, and family with a view to advancing the Christian tradition on these matters. This, in short, is why the Lydia Center for Women and Families exists. My name is Mark Garcia, and I am the director of the Lydia Center and the president of Greystone Theological Institute. It is my great privilege to welcome you to this set of 5 lectures from the 2016 Lydia Symposium, a lecture series of the Lydia Center, which is a research and resource center of Greystone Theological Institute. In the opening lecture, I raised the question of righteousness in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is known for its theme of the better righteousness of Christ and his disciples over against the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. But what is that better righteousness? I explore this question by inviting us to pause over Matthew's characterization of Joseph as just or righteous in Matthew 1, a text seldom recognized to be the first divorce text in Matthew's Gospel. In the second lecture, the Associate Director of the Lydia Center, Dr. Valerie Hobbs of Sheffield University, presents the results of her ongoing research in the discourse of divorce in a sermon corpus. Dr. Hobbs's lecture includes important visuals, and so we have made her lecture available in a video format, including a special introduction by Dr. Hobbs. The third lecture is by Dr. Rebecca Josberger, Assistant Professor of Hebrew and Old Testament at Multnomah University in Portland, Oregon, whose excellent doctoral dissertation explored the role of the father in Deuteronomy as an agent of righteousness. In this lecture, Dr. Josberger revisits Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, a text long characterized as a divorce text. Dr. Josberger makes a compelling case that it is, in fact, an abuse text, and that it focuses many of the ethical concerns of the Torah as a whole. In the fourth lecture, I offer a theological reading of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman in John 4, suggesting that, especially in light of work done on Leviticus and Deuteronomy 24, among other texts, we have here in John's Gospel a text which may sensitize us to the ways in which a woman may or may not be safe in the church. In the fifth and last lecture of the 2016 symposium, Dr. Josberger leads us through the spiritual importance of the Torah in God's work of forming his people after his image and for his perfected communion. More in the mode of meditation and reflection than academic investigation, this last talk by Dr. Josberger fittingly captures our overall vision for the Lydia Center, which is not merely better thinking, but a better people. Like the 2016 symposium itself, these lectures are provided to you free of charge as a service, and it is our hope that this might encourage you to consider supporting the Lydia Center with a one-time or especially monthly gift to help us cover costs. If you'd like to see the Lydia Center continue its work, please visit greystoneinstitute.org to find out how to donate. But thank you for your partnership, for your prayers, and for your own continued good labors.